Dr. Linda Seeger is an author and activist based in Colorado Springs, Colorado, a hotbed of political religious right activity. The community is also home to a vibrant sanctuary movement, which Linda co-founded. As the Trump administration attempts a radical redefinition of America's approach to immigration, I am happy to have Dr. Seeger with us to discuss both the faith-based sanctuary movement and the partisan aspects of religious beliefs. Linda, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks so much. Happy to be here.
Now, do you go under this guy's in Colorado Springs? I know it's stereotyped as Trump country and the heart of the religious right. Is that too simplistic, or how is it there?
Right now is that there have been these movements like the Sanctuary Coalition. We actually even have a gay pride parade here, and it has changed a little, but it is true. It's a really evangelical conservative center. I think there's about 300 nonprofits evangelicals here, but there are the pockets of us progressives.
How did you get involved in sanctuary activism, particularly in a place like Colorado Springs?
In February, the United Church of Christ, one of them here, asked a number of us if we were interested in forming a sanctuary coalition and to consider creating a church sanctuary. And the founding congregations included my congregation. I'm a Quaker, so Colorado Springs Society of Friends, and the United Church of Christ, First Congregational Church, and then a Unitarian Church, and then a United Methodist Church. So there were four founding congregations, and we started exploring if any of our churches could actually bring somebody in. The Unitarian Church stepped forward, and we are in the process, probably within a few weeks or a month or so, we will have somebody living at the Unitarian Church.
Hmm. Talk about, Linda, if you will, how the sanctuary movement functions.
Sanctuary goes back to the Hebrew Scriptures like thousands and thousands of years ago. In the Hebrew Scriptures, especially in actually in Joshua and Numbers, that the Israelites put aside six sanctuary cities where people were safe, and as they were going through the trial process. And part of the idea of sanctuary now is that hospitals, schools, and churches are safe places. Now, the problem is, in hospitals and schools, you eventually have to leave. Churches, you can stay there for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And most of the people that take sanctuary in a church come through an organization, so they are vetted. They are, you know, there's a lot of discussion which of the people where there's needs should we take. And the whole idea is partly to be very public. So churches are not harboring a fugitive. They are following a long tradition of caring for these people who are usually in the middle of a legal process. So they're waiting for a stay. They're going through the process. And because of Trump's policies, these processes are being truncated. And many times people are just saying, I'm sorry, you can't finish your legal process. We are deporting you. So sanctuary gives the person an opportunity to have some time as they are waiting the legal process to continue.
How have administration statements on radically changing U.S. immigration policy impacted the movement?
One of the problems that's going on now is that the deportations of people are more arbitrary. They are speeded up. There used to be this long process. For instance, one of the people that we are considering is somebody who's been here for 20 years, and she has six children who are citizens. That means all of them are born here. And so these new policies are pulling apart these families. So the mother is being sent away, or the father. And so these citizen kids, like, where, you know, I mean, they're talking about family values. That's not exactly family values.
Right.
So That has been the change. It's never been a problem about criminals who are immigrants because they go through the process, they're put in jail, and they're deported. So all this talk that we hear of all these rapists and the drug dealers and the criminals, you say, that's a totally different thing. The people who move into sanctuary are really checked out. They don't have criminal records. They've been paying taxes, often paying into Social Security, following the law, and those are the people that go into sanctuary. But another interesting thing I have found in the sanctuary movement, after we declared the Sanctuary Coalition and the Unitarian Church as a sanctuary church, the police asked to meet with us, and they didn't ask because we were there was any problem. In fact, the police said, we really admire what you are doing. They said, we want to make sure that the church is safe, and we want to do an inspection, and we also want you to know that we are here for you. If there's some problem, a threat, yes, the police will come. And the police also said, we don't do ISIS work. So if we, we're not going to try to drag anybody out, and even ICE does not do that with the church. But also, we're not going to stop somebody. If we stop somebody for a ticket or a minor traffic infraction, we are not going to call ICE and say, come and get this person. So that ICE's work, we stay out of that. We do our work. And that is part of what sanctuary cities do. There's about 300 sanctuary cities that say the police will not turn someone over to ICE to help ICE deport people. That's ICE's business, not theirs. And what I'm finding out is that of these sanctuary cities, there's a lot of other cities that are doing the same thing but not declaring themselves as sanctuary cities because of the threats that Trump has given to say, we're going to withdraw federal money if you're a sanctuary city. Now, that's pretty impossible to say, we're not going to fund your law enforcement and we're not going to continue working on your roads for 300 cities or more. But this whole movement is following basically the biblical injunction to be kind and to take in and to treat the foreigner and the immigrant as family.
Jesus rode a donkey. You make a point that I think most of our listeners understand, as the title says, why millions of Christians are Democrats. So instead, let me ask you, why do you think the Republican Party has been so effective in capturing self-identified Christian voters as well as mainstream media assumptions?
Part of it, in fact, a great deal of it, is that the Republicans are pro-life and the Democrats are pro-choice. I do hate that word pro-life because we're all pro-life. And the problem with that, there is not one verse in the Bible about abortion. Zero. There are thousands of verses about helping the oppressed and the poor and the needy and the widows and orphans and the fatherless and the stranger, or what we might call the foreigner or the immigrant, just thousands. There's hundreds of verses in the Bible that a nation is called to show justice and mercy, and that we will be judged by a vengeful God if we do not step forward and care for the least among these. And somehow, because the Republicans were not always this hard pro-life position, but somehow some years ago, about 20, 30 years ago, they started making that one of their major themes, especially the, you know, conservative evangelical Republicans. And somehow the Republicans and Christians got on board on this issue. And it is almost like a one issue. I mean, I met people before the election that say, we vote pro-life, and that is it. And the problem is that there is not the concern for life after birth. There is the concern for the fetus. And, of course, the Democrats are also concerned. And one of the interesting statistics is that abortions go down under pro-choice presidents. mm-hmm. and administrations.
I've been thinking a lot about messaging, and does the Democratic Party need to get a lot better at conveying a message that resonates with people of faith?
Yes, they need to be clear. They need to be clearer where they stand, and they need to be not quite so afraid of making some biblical or religious or spiritual statements. I think the Republicans are, the Democrats are so careful about not getting into the us versus them and to say, well, you know, we as Christians are fine, the Jews and the Hindus and the Buddhists and everyone are not because they're not Christian. Democrats are so careful about that that sometimes they don't speak to that Christian base that need to know more about what the Bible says about some of these other issues. Mm-hmm. And those are issues, many of those issues that I do talk about in Jesus Rode a Donkey, like the climate and the immigrant problem and terrorism and war and abortion and equal rights and same-sex marriage and some of these other issues that are that do have clear biblical basis mm-hmm. for them.
Dr. Linda Seeger is a longtime Script consultant who is active in the Sanctuary Movement in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Her latest book is titled Jesus Rode a Donkey, Why Millions of Christians Are Democrats. Linda, thank you so much for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Yes, thank you so much. I really enjoyed it.